Chapter 19, Inquiries and Replies. The most common letters in business are buyers' inquiries about goods and services and sellers' replies giving information and quotations. Now, what does inquiry mean? Requesting information. We must remember one important aspect. Enquiry. It means requesting information. It is different from inquiry, which means investigation. They are different words. Here, we are talking of information which can be either requested or asked, maybe from one organization to another. Inquiries are a routine. As far as inquiries are concerned, there's exchange of information. That means when there is an inquiry put forward, there will be a reply. And there is enough cooperation from both the sides. When we talk of an inquiry, if it is ideally one question, then generally we start with that question per se. That means the first paragraph will have that question put forward. When we talk of replies, as soon as there's an inquiry put forward, there will be an effective reply. The reply, of course, will be based on what is asked. For example, if a person has replied to the question or questions or the inquiry which is put forward, the person will reply, "Please feel free to contact me." So, the person is giving or showing that approach whereby communication can be two-way and is also letting the opposite person know that the person can feel free and comfortable to contact him for any other purpose. When we talk of inquiry, say ideally you have some problem and you've put it forward. Then, what is the action taken by the person in the other organization? So, the person will ideally reply, We have held a meeting on the 12th August to discuss possible solutions to this problem. So, inquiry and reply. Depending on the kind of inquiry, there will be a reply. It is used so that they have a document and record for reference. Of course, today we have email, so it's immediate proof or record. But when we talk of inquiries and replies, it is used so that they have a document and a record for reference. Today, of course, with email, we have a record as well as a reference. At one point of time, when there were no computers, it was all stored in files, but that was required since it will serve as a proof. Inquiries. To ask for information, you can directly begin with a question or request or an indication of the need. A series of direct questions may follow the opening paragraph. The letter may end with a friendly comment. It is more effective to end a letter with more businesslike sentence. Now, let's take each point. First and foremost, the question or the information which you put forward. If it is one question, it comes ideally in the first sentence so that the objective is achieved. Sometimes, if there is more than one question, we can have bullets. So, it's written in a more organized and structured manner. Then, a series of direct questions may follow the opening paragraph. So, we just gave this example of bullets. The letter may end with a friendly comment. When we say the letter may end with a friendly comment, see if it's face-to-face communication. there has to be a friendly comment at the end of a conversation. If there is no friendly comment, or as we say, if there is no business-like sentence, it'll be an abrupt ending. The purpose will be defeated. So, when we wind up, that means the last paragraph, the conclusion, we can use some friendly comments or some sentences. For example, if you have sent a letter or an email and there is one question, you can reply or you can put forward in the last paragraph, "Thank you for your answer in advance." So it is ideally a gesture when we say thank you. We're using courteous and polite words. When we talk of the last paragraph, another sentence can be put forward. "If you will be able to give me the details by the 18th August, I will be grateful." So again, I am actually writing a sentence whereby I'm expressing courteous words, and at the same time, I am also having a friendly comment or a business-like sentence. Points included in this letter are, we are discussing inquiries. What are the points included? Courteous request for information, giving its purpose. "Will you please, can you do me a favor by sending me," so when we use the word favor, "by sending me the details." So we're using courteous, polite sentences, phrases, words. Statement of what is wanted, a list of questions. So it gets more organized and in an orderly manner. Request that the information be given by a certain date and or indication of the business to follow. That means when you get the information by a certain date, what is the next step you have planned? So when we talk of inquiries, it is ideally very effective since there's appropriate exchange of information, and through an inquiry letter, the person is also expressing his views and ideas. Reply to inquiries. Your reply must do a sales job. When we say your reply must do a sales job, it means that you are persuasive, you are convincing, clarity as far as thought process and words go. Tell the potential customer what he wants to know and something more. Always keep yourself updated so that when you actually reply, you give much more information than required, but information whereby if I put myself in the other person's shoes, I can detect what is convincing and I can detect what is not convincing. That means I understand what I need to put forward, which will influence the mind of the reader. You need persuasive skills and good judgment in giving information. Persuasion is discussed, influencing the attitude and mindset of a person. Persuasion can be supported by logical facts, the logical appeal, the emotional appeal. So we need to gather all those aspects and be persuasive. Present the facts so as to show the customer the benefits of buying the product and service. Every product, ideally, should be unique in its own way. Something exceptional about the product, something different. So, how do we highlight those facts? How do we convey those facts? And how effectively we do that so that the reader definitely gets back, so that the reader gets in touch with us. You must show the advantage of the product, as discussed, something exceptional, something unique. Asking for help or advice. asking for help or advice from business acquaintances. You may ask business acquaintances for information. The information is likely to be confidential. You must be tactful. Offer to help in other matters. Whenever possible, address the inquiry to an individual rather than a company. Now, I need to be very clear with one aspect. If I want to ask, I need to know as to what exactly my doubt is. I need to know what exactly is my question, so that when I frame that sentence and send it across, the question is very easy and simple to understand. Yes, I'm asking this question or I'm asking for help because I am not having enough information, or maybe I'm not having any information at all. So the person whom I approach or the people whom I approach will definitely have that knowledge and experience on that front. So I ask for help or advice. Of course, it is very important because it is related to the opposite person giving me adequate and appropriate information. The information is likely to be confidential. You must be tactful. If I ask a question and it is confidential, then the person who will reply has to also be tactful. So when we ask for information, a lot depends on the question, but a lot depends on the person whom you are expecting an answer from. And if it's confidential, you expect that this is information that is considered confidential, so it is handled effectively from both the sides. Now, whenever possible, address the inquiry to an individual. When someone is asked for help or when someone is seeking advice, it is better to ideally address the individual rather than the organization or the company. Inability to give information. A tactless refusal creates ill will. Convey the negative message carefully. Courteously explain why the information cannot be given and suggest some other source of information. The points to be considered are: appreciation of interest shown by the inquirer, apology and reason for inability to give information, suggestion of some other sources of information if possible. You have to appreciate the person who's asked you to give information. And it is extremely important to apologize if one is not able to give appropriate information, if one finds it difficult to get information on a particular topic. So, as discussed, apology and, if possible, a reason as to why you're unable to give the information. When we talk of inability to give information, one has to be as direct, honest, and tactful as one can be, because it is very important to write a direct and straightforward sentence whereby you express that you're unable to give information on this front. That's why a very important point here: a tactless refusal creates ill will. If you find it difficult to actually convey that you're unable to give this information, then the structuring or the sentence will not be put forward appropriately. So one needs to be transparent and honest as far as inability to give information is concerned. Asking for questions. When we ask questions, first and foremost, avoid negations in a question. Negations: cannot, will not, can't. we cannot deliver the goods until Friday. The same sentence can be written in another manner without using the negation. Cannot, the word not. We will deliver the goods on Friday. What is the sentence? We cannot deliver the goods until Friday. So it means that we can deliver the goods only on Friday, or we cannot deliver the goods until 18th. That means we can finally get them delivered to you on the 18th. So avoid negations. Every sentence of yours, even if it's a question, should have a positive impact and influence on the mind of the reader. Words like mistakes, problems, error can be avoided while asking questions or while framing sentences. When we are talking of questions, first and foremost, polite requests for quotation, details of requirements with quality and quantity of goods, place and time of delivery of goods required, carriage paid or carriage forward. Any special request about mode of delivery or packing. Various questions which can be put forward when you're placing an order for goods. The quantity. When you talk of the quantity per unit, per piece, the number of pieces, the total number of pieces which you are wanting to place an order for. The carriage paid, that means cost of delivery, or is it going to be free of charge? When you get a sample, you expect that it should be of the same quality when you place an order in bulk. All these are important aspects. Why? Because you expect direct answers for direct questions. Very direct questions here in terms of quality. That means you're asking what you got as a sample, you expect the same. In terms of price, see, if you want to place an order in bulk, you expect some amount of discount and thus bargain. When you talk ideally of, say, the delivery charges, so you again expect them to give you a discount on that front. So various ways of asking questions. But there's something like email etiquette, whereby when we are writing, the basic etiquette, the courtesy, words like please, thank you, sorry, greeting the person, putting it effectively, plays a very important role out here. Suggestion that the volume of business will be large if the quotation is favorable. Yes, that is very often put forward when we are wanting to place an order, because we do expect that if we want to place an order in bulk, then we can expect that the quotation can be favorable to us. Giving quotation. What is quotation? When we talk of a quotation, it is a document provided by a vendor or service provider who will give all the details of the product and its price. Usual quotation is given when market conditions are normal, whereas an exceptional quotation is given in case of a large order. That means a lot depends on the fluctuations in the market. When there is an order in bulk, chances are that you can get a good deal and a quotation whereby you're aware that you are benefiting too. Of course, the supplier is aware that he will benefit too, since he is going to be getting continuous orders through you. A tabulated quotation may be enclosed with a letter. When we say a tabulated quotation, it's giving you all the details. For example, a school has asked a person who's having a stationery shop to provide them 500 notebooks. Then, when we talk of a tabulated quotation, when we talk of 500 notebooks, that's the total. the breakup, 200 notebooks, blank pages, the cost. 200 notebooks, double line, the cost. 100 notebooks, single line, and the cost. So it's given in a tabulated form. So it is put forward there that 200 multiplied by the cost of each book, and then the total amount is put forward. Also, the discount, if any, is mentioned, since you are actually going to be placing orders with the stationery shop regularly as far as books are concerned. The points to be considered are: thanks for inquiry, statement of prices and terms, attempt to win the customer. So, basic manners, etiquette, courtesy, that you thank the person who has inquired. But what is written in this kind of a letter or an email? When you thank, you also write in a manner whereby you win the customer. The effort which you put in is that you want the customer to place an order with you. You're definitely very convincing when you frame an email or a letter as far as winning a customer is concerned. Withholding quotation. Why would someone withhold a quotation? See, you're aware that company X is regularly asking you for quotations, but never placing an order with you since the last 2 years. So, in such a situation, it is best to withhold a quotation. Yes, you may have to give a reason as to why you're not willing to give the quotation. But this needs to be tackled effectively. This has to be tackled in a manner whereby the opposite person or the organization should not feel that you're withholding it for this kind of a reason. Write a tactful letter saying that the market is uncertain and you can quote only for a definite period or make a firm offer for a very short period. That means you are making it clear that this offer is for a limited period of time. So, valid for 30 days when you talk of the quotation. Sometimes we read these emails or SMSs which we get, early bird discount, and then it's put forward in the introduction body conclusion that the first 100 people will avail flat 20% off. So, there is a limited time for these kind of discounts. So, it can always be put forward that the market is uncertain and thus you're quoting or giving a quotation for a limited period of time. Bargaining letter. If your order is likely to be large, you can point this out to persuade the seller to give better terms. That means there is always a chance of discussing and ideally having a win-win situation whereby the terms and conditions are agreeable to both. The request should be specific. Points to be considered are expression of thanks for the quotation. So, as soon as you receive the quotation, it is very important and basic etiquette that we appreciate, we thank the person for giving us the details. Specific requests for more favorable terms and attempt to show that the supplier will benefit if he gives the requested terms. So, one aspect is maybe you will place more orders with him or her in the future if this deal goes through. That means, yes, terms and conditions which are favorable to both. Suggestions that large frequent orders will be placed if the request is granted. For example, you ideally have 3 branches in Bombay as far as your organization is concerned. Now, you also want to expand and we are talking of all over India. So you give them that kind of information that soon you will place orders with them on a large scale. So what happens in this kind of a situation? It is worth the bargain. The seller will realize that it can be effective in the long run since you will be placing many more orders with him or her. Offering a substitute. The substitute you offer must serve the purpose and need of the customer. What is a substitute? Say you've been placing an order for a particular product since the last 3 years. Now, due to some reasons, that product is not getting manufactured. So, they're offering a substitute. When we talk of a substitute, it should be ideally more or less the same. That means in terms of quality and in terms of the outcome of the product. It must be the nearest in quality. And if the price differs, explain why. First and foremost, when you offer a substitute, you have to give a reason as to why you are offering a substitute. If possible, give a sample so that the person will realize that what the product is like. And when you are actually offering a substitute, you should explain if there's a major price, you should explain if there is a major price difference. A substitute must be offered with confidence. Yes, somewhere you have to convince the customer that what they are offering you is appropriate in terms of quality. Say you've been placing an order with organization A. This time, there is a higher demand from your side. So, they give you a reason saying that since there is a higher demand and they do not have surplus as far as the product is concerned, they're offering you a substitute. So, a reason is a very important aspect as far as offering a substitute is concerned. You have to be convincing when you're offering a substitute. You have to somewhere realize that you are not letting the customer or the client compromise, but you're yet giving them the best. Just offering a substitute without explanation may give rise to mistrust. Business is based on trust, on understanding. So, it is necessary to give an explanation. And when we say explanation, a feasible or a logical explanation is required. Seller's reply. Agreeing to readily to reduce the price may give the impression that the originally offered terms were not fair, or the sales are so poor that you are eager to get an order at any price. Any seller, ideally, who readily agrees to the terms and conditions put forward by you, it may be possible, though not necessary, it may be possible that the goods are ideally not getting sold. It may be possible that what was offered to you initially was not appropriate. So the seller is aware or was aware. So from a seller's point of view, the seller has to be very tactful, because if he or she readily agrees, it may sound, or it may make the opposite person feel, that he either wants to let go of these goods as soon as possible due to a particular reason, and there may be many other thoughts which may come up as far as the buyer is concerned. And it may lead to doubt as far as purchasing the product or products are concerned. A request or a favor should be granted with dignity. A grudging or condescending tone will be resented by the customer. Even when a request or favor is granted, it has to be put forward in an appropriate manner without hurting the sentiments or feelings or thought process of the customer. Because Customer ideally is the king. We need to be aware that it can get very easy for a customer to drift, especially in today's competitive times. So, when we talk of a request being granted, the way it is put forward, that is of great importance. Even through written communication, the choice of words will make the customer feel whether he should accept this deal or not. Granting a request. This is a pleasant message. Grant a favor cheerfully, without grudging. You may, of course, express expectation of benefit by granting the favor. Yes, as a seller, you will also have some expectation. So, it is put forward in a direct but yet simple manner. Refusing a request. A refusal must be conveyed tactfully so that chances of future business with the customer are not damaged. Whenever there's a refusal, we need to give a neutral or balanced answer in terms of a reason put forward. Because when there's a refusal for a request, the reason will make the customer either come back to you or never come back to you. So, whenever there is a refusal of a request, it needs to be handled effectively. Customers can be persuaded to understand why the request cannot be granted. Words like "we request," "please," "we regret," "we are sorry," all these kind of words, phrases, sentences can be used when we are talking from the seller's point of view. Getting back lost customers. Why would ideally a customer drift away or decide not to be a loyal customer anymore? Various reasons. Difference in price, quality of the product, drifted away to another seller due to incentives. So various points whereby the customer is no longer a loyal customer. Or if the customer has never been a loyal customer, then too, the customer decides to probably purchase other products due to various reasons. The common reason for loss of customers is that the supplier makes no effort to retain them, so they drift away to competitors. It is very necessary to keep your customers involved, to live up to the taste, preference and style of the customers, and at the same time to communicate with them whenever possible. Communicate via email, SMSs, various ways of communicating. Say if a customer has not placed an order with you for the last 2 years. What will be the most appropriate way to get in touch with that customer? There is no point reminding the customer as to why he has drifted. He could have drifted probably because the after-sales service is not appropriate. So, sending an email to the customer, reminding the customer that there is a discount and they have invited few privileged customers. So, it can get easy to get the customer back. A timely letter to a drifting customer can save a loss. If we realize that the customer has not purchased goods with us for a long time. Today, of course, with the systems being updated with data as far as computer is concerned, we can have access to all the details. The moment we realize that an individual has not purchased with us, sending a letter informing him or her about the products, the latest designs, a discount or a sale which may happen soon. All those aspects may make the customer feel that he or she is remembered. A short letter should suffice, sending the latest catalog or samples of the designs or products may make an indifferent customer feel that he is remembered by you. So, it is very important, as far as the seller is concerned, that the seller continuously keeps communicating with the customers. The connectivity, as far as effective communication is concerned, is an ongoing process. Whether it is written communication or face-to-face, communication is required so that, as far as customers are concerned, they feel that sense of belongingness, and thus this would increase the sales too. We have completed chapter 19. Thank you.